David Bradley comes to us from Lexington, Kentucky. Please dear brother in your prayer.
I thank you, Brother John, for the opportunity to be here with you today. I was sitting there thinking, Paul said that he came before him with fear and trembling, and I always do. I was telling the brother riding with this morning that every time I know that I'm supposed to preach, I always feel like I can't believe that I've ever even attempted it or that I ever will again. And I really believe that there's only two kind of people, two kind of men that stand behind this before the Lord's people. It's those who want to give God all the glory, 100% all the glory, and who desire to be emptied, an empty vessel that He might fill us and use us. It's either that kind or the other kind, and that's what I fear. Is it to come here full of ourselves and concerned about our glory and making a name for ourselves? God's not going to have it. He said, I'm a jealous God and I will not share my glory with another. That's one of those shall nots. It's not going to happen when He says that. I don't care how many rise up and try to do it, how easy we try to sneak it in there, He's not going to have it. And I just pray that the Lord will be with me. I'm very nervous, not just because I've never been here, but because I'm standing before God Almighty, the sovereign God of the universe, attempting to speak to His people, and I am 100% unworthy of it. And it, like that song we sang earlier, except the Spirit of the Lord come down, it's all in vain. Every bit of it is just vain words. And so I hope you'll keep us in your prayers. And, you know, talking about one of the brothers, I can't remember who mentioned it now. I'll probably tear this thing up. I've never had one of these on me either. But talk about the times we're living in. The scripture says that we're living in perilous times, I believe. That's dangerous times, dangerous for the Lord's people. It says in different places there, in one place it says that before that day comes, there's going to be a great falling away. And you'd have to be blind not to see that there's a great falling away. We're right, I don't know where we are in it, but we're in it. Either in the middle of it or the end of it. It's been going for a while. It's becoming evident here lately. You know, we can go along when things are going good in our life and we think everything's okay. We think God is blessing because we're materially doing good. Our jobs are doing good. Our families or whatever. We think God is blessing us. We don't know a blessing from an affliction. We really don't. Or a curse. When God blesses us, it's to the purpose of drawing us closer to Him and giving Him all the glory. Amen. Everything that He does is for His glory. He doesn't bless us. See, we've got this mentality, this entitlement mentality today, that God is obligated to us because we're, number one, Americans. Number two, we're white people for the most part in here today. And I'm not saying anything against the black. I don't mean that. You know what I mean. But I know that the white people think we're entitled to something a lot of times. And another thing, when we got the name Primitive Baptist over us, we think that God is entitled to us because we've got that name across the door. I'll tell you what that name will get you. That by itself, it'll get you nothing. Unless the Spirit of the Lord come down, it's all in vain. That name is in vain if it's not there to glorify God. And so I hope today that that's what we're trying to do. And I believe we're living in perilous times. I really do. There's a great falling away. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. And we see a great turning away from all that is of God. Are you concerned about our nation? Are you concerned about our families? Are you concerned about our churches and about us individually? Because all that I've mentioned are in terrible shape. Every one of us. We have departed from the living God one way or another. And except we turn back, God is not going to bless. We can talk about it all we want to, I think we need to do what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. He says, if my people, and see that, over in the New Testament, we got the same thing. He says, judgment must begin where? In the house of God. We want to sit here and worry about what goes on in Washington, D.C. and blame it on the Democrats or the whichever party you're with. And they're all rotten up there for the most part. I don't care what name they got on. They're all stink. And for the most part, they don't believe in God. And God's not going to bless a nation like that. But they're not the problem. Washington, D.C. is a reflection of right here today. That's what it is. Judgment must begin at the house of God. We need to remember that. If we would be concerned about it, it's not that we don't be concerned about the government. I'm not saying we just put our head in the sand and don't pay attention to anything. But if we'll take care of us individually and the churches, God will bless and it'll work out into the community. And you see the entitlement attitude in the government? It started in the churches, brothers and sisters. That's exactly where it started. I know man by nature is that way, but we've got that mentality today. I have it in myself. I see it sometimes, and I hate it. But we're living in very discouraging times. And I get discouraged. I don't know how y'all are. I feel like we're probably all in the same boat together. But it's hard to keep rejoicing in the Lord. That's what the Scripture tells us over and over again. Rejoice where? In the government? Rejoice in your circumstances. Rejoice because the one you voted for got in. Rejoice because your family's doing good. Rejoice because your job is paying you good and everything seems stable. No, he said rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And I believe even though we're living in a dark day today, we can still rejoice in the same one that we've been supposed to be rejoicing in all along. But see, our hopes and our affections have been set on the things down here below too much. And it's now becoming evident. Now the hard times are coming. And we ain't seen nothing yet. That may not be good English either, but it's truth. The judgment of God is already here. When you look around, we'll start out there. We look around in our nation, in the world around us, you see homosexuality parading down the street. Somebody told me, well, homosexuality's been around since the beginning of Garden Eden. Yes, it has. It's been here from way back there. But when it's paraded in the streets, stuck in God's face, and says, we won't have it your way, we're going to have it our way, fire's going to come down and destroy it, just like it did Sodom and Gomorrah. Where are they today? They're a big charred heap over there. It'll happen again. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and His principles are the same. That's one big thing. We can all feel good about talking about the homosexual because we may not be tempted in that way. But we've got our problems. That's right, brother. We've got our own problems here that we don't want to mention. But we need to mention them, brothers and sisters, or we're never going to get anywhere until we admit before God Almighty. And He's a holy and He's a just God, just like He's been from eternity past, until we bow and humble, confession and submission to Him and say, we have sinned. Nothing is going to change. And we're not going to do that in truth until we feel it in our hearts. And we've got to acknowledge that we've got a problem before we're going to seek any remedy for it. And if God ever works a revival in our midst. And I try to pray for one. I really do. But you know what? God's not going to bring a revival because we pray for a revival. God brings a revival when we seek for Him with our whole heart. That's what a revival is. When our whole desire is after Him. And before God does that, before God brings a revival, He's going to make us feel our need of Him. Before He heals us, He's going to wound us. It's God's work just as much to kill as it is to make alive. See, we just want to go to the good part. God's good. Yes, He is. But I think in the world today, in the religious world, and even in the primitive Baptist, we dwell on the love of God and the grace of God, and we ignore the other parts of it. God is still a just God. His judgment is still there. His eyes are still too pure to look upon sin. And you say, well, we're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, we are. But our walk down here matters before God Almighty, and it matters how well we live down here. And it has an effect on us. God does not just wink at it and say, okay, live like the world, and I'm going to bless you anyway. Not going to happen, folks. That's why we're seeing the judgment of God. And you know, it says over in Romans, because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, what did He do with them? He gave them up. He said, go ahead and do what you want. Turn them over to a reprobate mind. That's exactly what He did to the children of Israel. What'd they do? He fed them with manna. He gave them. They said, we're sick of this stuff. We want the garlic, onions, the pizzas, and ice cream, and all the stuff. We had up some nerves. I can't. They said, we want all these good things we had back there. And they just kept fussing and complaining. He said, all right, I'm going to give them to you. But you know what you're going to get with them? You're going to get something with it. You're going to get leanness of soul. And I believe that's where we are today as a people. As a primitive Baptist. I'm talking about us now. Let's just forget the world out there. We need to talk about ourselves right here. And I'm including me. I'm not standing up here like I'm better than y'all. We're all in this together. I'm the worst one here. That's why I know so much about some of this. I don't know it all. But I know some of how bad we are. We've been living for years with our affections on things down here not set on the Lord. We haven't been rejoicing in the Lord. We've been sitting there listening to what we call the truth. Grace, grace, grace. And we've gone to sleep. The Bible says, let us not sleep as do others. He's talking to His people, to the church there. That's who He's talking to. The world is already asleep spiritually. They're dead. But, you know, when we're in these dark times, it's easy to do. Like, you remember the children of Israel? They got carried into captivity. They went over there and somebody told them to sing a song. They said, we can't sing the Lord's song in a foreign land. They threw their harps up there in the trees and the bushes or whatever, hung them up there and said, it's over. God's dead. We can't do anything. Is that not what we say today when we say God cannot and will not work again in our midst? Our God's just the same. You know what He said? He said, my arm is not shortened. My ear's not stopped up and it's not heavy. My hair's not gray. I don't have wrinkles in my brow. I'm just like I was from eternity past. And He said, but the problem is your sins and your iniquities are what have separated us between there. And He's talking to His people there. So you think it doesn't matter? The Scripture says it does matter. And we need to go according to the Scriptures. And you know, I was just reading the other day, back there in, I think it's 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. It said, in the men of Issachar, of the tribe of Issachar, there's 200 of them. And it said that they understood the times and they knew what to do about it. They knew what to tell Israel to do about it. Do we have that discernment today? I don't see too much discernment anymore. We're just, it's just love everything, love everybody, don't say anything negative. And I tell you, we're at a crossroads, I believe, in the world is really, but the church, I know about our church today, us as a people, we're at a crossroads. The church is under attack and it always has been, but today, the Primitive Baptist Church I'm talking about, the rest of them are pretty much all departed from most things. I'm not saying there's none of the Lord's people there. I'm just saying they went so far that I can't hardly walk in the door. They got rock music and all this modern wisdom of man stuff. What about the Primitive Baptists? Is there anything going on in them? The Lord has blessed me in the last year and a half to be able to travel among some of the Primitive Baptist churches around different states. And it breaks my heart. There's several things about it that break my heart. A lot of them are small in number, and it's not about numbers. That's not what I'm saying. But there is a point where you can see that we're dying out. It's all older people, and I love older people. But when it's, you know, four or five older people, and that's all that's going there, it's just common knowledge that's not going to last too long. We got that, and then the ones that are there are depressed. They're discouraged. Their heads are hanging down. They've hung the harp up there, and they think God's not going to bless anymore. They think it's over. They think God is, He's done with what's down here. It's just, we're just going to float on until the church closes, and then we'll just sit home, watch our TV, which we're doing most of the time anyway, which is part of the reason we're in the shape we're in. But anyway, get off that subject. Like Sonny Powell said, it's a hell-o-vision, and if you're watching it, you're not putting good stuff in your mind, I can tell you. There ain't nothing on there worth a dime. Nothing. You can't you watch an animal program, but they don't tell you that the monkey came from something billions of years ago, and the tree came from this, and it evolved from that, and it's all the work of Satan to pull down God, and they're not going to do it. They can say all they want to. You know what God's going to do? He did it back here in Psalms chapter 2. He said the rulers, all the people that were gathered up there to what? To break asunder the bands of God. That's what they wanted. Is that not what our nation and we as a people want today? We don't want God's rule over us. We want to say we're free, we're under grace, we're under liberty anymore. And we are under the grace of God. And it is a liberating grace. But it doesn't mean that you turn the grace of God into lasciviousness and go do whatever you want to do. And that's what we've done. And we're reaping the consequences. And the reaping and sowing thing is still in effect today. The Bible says, whatsoever you sow, that you're going to reap. And what you sow, you also reap more of it. You know, you go out in the garden and plant you a little seed of corn, and it sprouts up, and usually it'll have one or two ears on there, and each one of them ears has got, I've never counted, 50 or 75 or 100 seeds on there. On maybe two ears, you got 200 of them. I don't know. It's a whole lot more what you put in the ground. And that's the way we reap. And that's what we're reaping today. And brother says, we need to get serious about this and seek God's will and seek God's face. The answer's right here in the book. But I don't really want to get on. That wasn't really what my message was about. But we are in bad shape. And we need, I always get on 2 Chronicles 7:14. My wife said, you never finish the whole point. I'm going to try to do it this time. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, that's talking about us. It's what we're professing, isn't it? He says, if you'll humble yourself, that's the first thing. There ain't nothing going up that ain't humble. And it's got to come from God before it goes up. Amen. He's got to humble us. But humble yourselves, pray. You know, like I said, the only kind of prayer going up is a humble one. And in your prayer, what are you supposed to be doing? Seeking Him. Seeking Him. Not our will. See, we ask amiss a lot of times that we might consume it upon our lust. Oh Lord, bless this nation. That's not going to get it. You might as well keep that prayer to yourself. It ain't going up. Because most of the time, we're just saying, Lord, bless our nation so we can keep, we're not saying these words, but this is what's in our heart. So we can keep the job we got. We can keep the 3 cars we got. We can keep the pool in the backyard. We can keep all the things that we got that we're so attached to we don't want to turn them loose. And also our cable TV that costs $100 a month. We don't want to turn that loose. Oh, we might miss some of that nasty trash on there. Right? That's right. I might not hear any amens, but it's the truth. I have to amen myself, but we're living in these kind of times when judgment, truth is falling in the street, and iniquity cannot enter. Good's called evil, evil's called good. And so when we look around this, we can get all discouraged and get down in the dumps. And it's easy to do, and I do it. But the scripture says, rejoice in the Lord. We also need to be drawn nigh to Him. But let me get back to Chronicles. I keep getting off track. But he says, humble yourselves, pray, seek my face. And then the last one, we really don't want to add this last one in there. It says, turn from your wicked ways. And then after you read all four of them, and after we've done them, then he's going to do 3 things if we do them. Now if we just try to skip around and do the easy one and say, pray for my nation, he ain't going to do nothing. That's what he's going to do. He's a sovereign God of the universe. He's not going to do except what he says he'll do. He says, if you do those 4 things, here's what I'm going to do. First of all, I'm going to hear you. Then I'm going to, I can't remember that. He'll hear you and he'll heal your land. There's another one there. Somebody help me. Forgive you. Yeah, he's going to forgive you. He's going to hear you, forgive you, and then he's going to heal your land. That's what he's going to do. He said he'd do it. He's going to do it if we do it. So it's not impossible for the Lord to bless God. I believe He can bless today just like He has in meetings in old times and however many years you want to go back. He can still do it and He will do it. And I think another one of the things that's hindering us from the blessings of God is we're not after His glory 100%. We want to give the church some of it. We want to give what we believe some of it. Our set of doctrines. We're giving glory to places it don't belong. We're thankful for these things, but we should not glory in them. Paul said, "I glory in the cross of Jesus Christ," and he said, "I'm determined." He said, Paul was a thinking fellow, and he sat down and prayed and thought about it, and he said, "I'm determined to preach nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's all he wanted to preach, and the unsearchable riches of Christ. And they are unsearchable. They're way past our finding out. If we ever really get a hold of them, see, it's easy to sit here. We can get, you know what knowledge does? Knowledge puffeth up. And that's one of the things I wanted to get at a while ago. I keep getting off track. But the Primitive Baptist Church is facing a lot of things today. I may hurt some feelings here. I don't know. I don't mean to. And I'm not mad at you personally if I do. I preached on one of these things at a church not too long ago. And the family came up to me and told me I offended them. I told them, "I'm sorry if I offended them by how I said it or something. But I said, what I said, I believe." But we, see, here's what happened. You look in the churches around, we can point it out there better than we can in our own midst. You know, it's easier to point somebody else's problems out. But we look at the other churches out there, and they have, you know, they'll have Buck Owens and the Buckaroos in there to sing a gospel song for them to draw a crowd in there. And we say, "Oh, that's wrong." And I think it is. But you know why they're doing that? Because to whatever extent you depart from Christ and Him alone, there's going to be a void there. And you've got to fill it with something. And you've got to have some kind of activity to make it look like, even though you're dead, there's something going on there. So that's why they get into all these things. And I don't hate these people. I've been involved in some of that. And that's the purpose of it. What about the Primitive Baptists? I'm telling you, singing school is not in the Bible. Now, that might make some of you mad. I don't know, but it ain't in there. And it, like I told that family, I don't know how you can justify singing school when you're going to stand up and tell your neighbor that comes over, "Tell me about your church, I'm interested." And you say, "Well, we just have a cappella singing, preaching and praying, because that's all the Bible justifies." And then you go to them and tell them you're having a singing school, and they say, and this happened, I know of a church right now where they had this, and they, at least two members left. And they were fairly new members that had come in. They were rejoicing in the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of the worship service. And they came in there and they started. They had an Easter egg hunt on right after church. They're at the church, on the church grounds. And then it wasn't long, they had a singing school. And these people said, "I thought we just did like you, Brother Joe said, if there's a thus saith the Lord." And there ain't no thus saith the Lord in there for a pagan Easter egg hunt. And there ain't one in there for a singing school. Because if you can't justify Sunday school, you ain't going to justify singing school. You say, "Well, it's not part of the church." That's what they tell me over here about the Sunday school. I've got to take one or the other or neither one. That's the way I am according to the Scripture. This book is our only rule of faith. You can write all the creeds up. You can change it. You can write it to suit yourself. And you can do whatever you want to do. But God is not going to bless unless we stick by "Thus saith the Lord." We don't need more stuff in the church. We've got the pattern laid down in the Holy in the Scriptures right here. What we need to do is follow that and beg the Lord to come down and be in our midst. You know, Isaiah back there, he was told what was coming upon his people. And it was judgment was what was coming because they departed from the Lord. What did Isaiah do? Did he hang up his harp over and say, "It's all over, boys. God told me judgment's coming"? No, he went over and he cried out to the Lord. And I believe he cried out with passion. You know, some people say you shouldn't preach with passion. I've been told that by Primitive Baptist preachers. I don't preach it. I just preach the way I feel, or it comes out. I don't try to do anything. I mean, I want to glorify God, but I mean, I'm not trying to preach with whatever. But if you've got some, put it out there. I can't imagine the Apostle Paul in there when he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." I don't believe he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." I think he cried out, "Oh, wretched man that I am. I hate my body, what I do. The good things that I would do, I don't do them. And the bad things I don't want to do, that's what I'm found doing." He cried out with an agony in his heart about that. And then at the end of it, he said, "Thank God through Jesus Christ. That's how I'm going to be delivered. That's how we're all going to be delivered." And there was some rejoicing in that. And I believe we can rejoice in that today. But we're going to look around to the things of this world to fill our void. We see the church is kind of dry and dull and the numbers going down. So we're going to reach out into the world and bring in a singing school to stir it up. Your singing may sound like the Mormon choir, and it'll be about as worth just about as much as that too in God's eyes. God says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." I don't care if you croak like a frog like I do or what. If it's a joyful noise and your desire is to praise God, it's acceptable in His sight, and He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because I know your heart was full of praise to me. I don't care what you sound like. He never says anything about how it's got to be. He just tells us to do stuff, and we do it by the grace of God, the best of our ability. We all got different abilities. Some things I can't do a lick at, and you do great, and the other way around maybe. I don't really have anything I do great, so I don't know, that's probably a lie. But anyway, you know, I want to get this, I don't know where to start really, but we got all this stuff going on today. And the other one other thing, besides the singing school and those kinds of things that are coming in the church, is the wisdom of man. And you can go read. I told a young boy I was talking to, he's licensed and liberated and preaching, and he's going to turn the world upside down. He said he wants to bring out the deep things of God for God's people. I guess that's a good desire, but if you knew this boy, he's running around going to singing schools, all these things you can get into like that, because it satisfies him and it boosts him up. And I told him, I said, I was talking about a certain church. I said, they're more liberal than I am. He said, what do you mean by liberal? I said, well, say more modern, whatever you want to say, unscriptural. That's a better word, maybe. But I said, these things like singing schools and things like that, they're not in the Bible. And you know what the Primitive Baptists believe? Don't mean a thing. As far as you want to go back in history and say, they believe that? Yeah, I mean, I like history. I like to go back there and see it. But because they believed it back then or don't believe it now, that don't affect God's truth. His truth stands forever. His word is forever settled in heaven. Not down here. It's in heaven settled, and no man can touch it. And I told him, I said, you go read the Primitive Baptist thing, because people, you know, we glory in the Primitive Baptist. You go back and read the history, and they'll tell you, they didn't want any of those kind of things in the church. And we want our preachers today. Probably, maybe not here. I don't know most of you. I've never been here before. Never seen the laid eye on most of you. But I've seen it. The churches that have enough money and have enough people in there, which goes together usually, and are able to have a choice of what pastor they get when they need one, you know who they want? They want the young whippersnapper fresh out of college. That's what they want. You may not, maybe you don't see it where you are, but I've been around, I see it in person. And I've been told, I've had two different preachers, Primitive Baptist preachers I'm talking about, tell me you need to get an outline and you need to study John Gill and you need to do this, that, and other. I say, what about Paul said? He didn't receive this of me, he received it from God Almighty. Has God changed? Can he not teach a man today just like he did before? When he works in a man's heart, he'll teach him if he wants him to preach. And he will equip him and he will call him. And if he don't do that, you can come up here and fill this pulpit and the people will go home dry and dull and asleep. And nothing will be accomplished except in its works. And we need to be careful about who we ordain to the ministry, because I'm telling you, we got I won't say a lot, but I see several out there that ain't no more called than the coon dog in your backyard. It's the truth. You know it when you sit there and listen to them. And you may be thinking that about me, and it may be true. If it is, you come tell me after it's over. I beg the church that I'm out of, if you don't think I got a gift, you don't think God's in it, tell me. Even if you think it's going to hurt my feelings, even if I cry like a baby, if God will be with me, hopefully I'll be humble enough to receive it and sit down and shut up. Because I do not want to get up here and bore God's children. Now, if we're not feeding the sheep and glorifying God, what are we doing up here? We're filling up space. We got to come up here. And that's what a lot of these modern preachers, Primitive Baptist preachers that come out of college do. They get up here. One preacher told me he called it carnal preaching. They come up here and they got an essay. They've learned how to do it. And I don't see any fear of God in there. When they get up, they just saunter up into the pulpit. There's no fear and trembling that you can detect. And they never say, most of these that I'm talking about, they never get up and say it. And if you listen to the Primitive Baptist in years past, which doesn't make it right, but it was good, got up and said, unless the Spirit of the Lord is in, it's all in vain. They knew that. They may have repeated it sometimes over and didn't really feel it in their heart that day, but they knew it was true. That unless God's in it, nothing is going to be accomplished. And so, I've got to close, but I wanted to get on. We still have reason to rejoice. One reason we can rejoice, I didn't even read any scriptures. I'm a terrible day. I'm not very good at these short sermons. I'm a long-winded fellow. I got lots on my mind most of the time. The Lord blesses me, and it's hard for me to cut it down to. I don't even know how long I've been. I put my watch down and forgot to look at it when I got up here, so I don't know what time it was or is or anything else. I hope the Lord was in it. But we can rejoice in the Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we got scriptures that tell us our God, where is He? Our God. He's not just a God out there, He's our God, our personal God. Yes, He's personal, He ought to be. If He isn't, He ain't much to you, is He? But our God, where is He? He's in the heavens. What's He doing? He's doing whatsoever He pleased. And guess what? None can stay His hand, and none can say unto Him, what you doing up there? We can try it, but it's not going to affect Him one bit. And while I go, I start saying Psalms 2. They all gathered around there, and that's what they were doing. They wanted to bust His bands asunder. And you know what God did? He was sitting on His throne. His sovereign, eternal throne. From eternity past to eternity future. He didn't even wrinkle an eyebrow at them. He didn't do nothing. The only thing He did, He laughed. That's what the scripture says. And that's what He's doing today. We look around at the world today. The brother said something about, somebody said that the world is going crazy. No, it hadn't. It's departed from God. That's what's wrong with it. And that's what happens when you have no anchor of your soul and you have nothing that you're going on. You're just out here a loose cannon about ready to do anything because you got no restraints. You got no belief system. You got no God. And so you're going to kill people. There's so much wrong in this country. We take the good things out of the schools. We take the good things out of the churches. And then we expect things to go on with God's blessings on there. But you know what we get replaced with? In the churches, lean to some meat. In the schools, we get machine guns coming there and mowing our children down because people have forsaken God. They're not taught at home. Our homes are in disarray. You know why? Because we're watching the television more than we are tending to our children. And I'm not the greatest parent in the world. I don't have I'm not the example. Like Paul said, you follow me as far as I follow the Lord, which may not be very far. But you make sure if you're following a man, you just follow as far as he's following the Lord. You need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only perfect one that ever was. But we can rejoice in the fact that our God is in the heaven. And another verse that means a lot to me, I think of often in a lot of the things that I've been through since I've been trying to preach, especially. I've had a lot of opposition. You probably say, I can see why. That's okay. If God says, if I open the door, there ain't no man going to shut it. And if I shut it, there ain't no man going to open it. That's the confidence I have. I don't live in that every day. I get shook up and wonder what I'm doing, why I'm doing. Maybe I should give up. I have all these things. But underneath are the everlasting arms. And like that song, How Firm a Foundation. It's His sovereign, omnipotent hand that holds me up. If I'm held up, it's not me, myself. If I push myself on somebody, you know, to try to preach there, God's not in it. I don't believe. And these young preachers that come up and tell you, I'm called to God, and they want you to liberate them and push you to do stuff. I don't believe in that. That's why we got so many of these preachers that are not called by the sovereign God of the universe. God says, if He gives a gift, He'll make a way for it. You say, what about you? I never said a word. I had thoughts of trying to speak publicly in the Lord's name from the time I was a teenager. I never said one word to anybody. Not even my family knew it. Remember this church, and the preacher asked me one day, he said, you ever thought about speaking public, you know, like? And I said, why you ask? And he said, he just felt like he ought to ask. And I said, well, tell you the truth, I have since I was a teenager. He said, next Sunday get up there and see what you can do. And that's how I'm where I am, but it don't prove anything to me just because I'm still going, because I see a lot going out there that should have been stopped a long time ago. And I'm not picking on, I really don't hate these people. I'm concerned about the glory of God and the welfare of His people and His church down here. And if a man's not called, and let me tell you, if we're living in perilous days and times, and I believe we are, do you think God, just think about it, the sovereign God of the universe has all power, He just speaks and it happens. Do you think He's going to call a man at any point in history, really, but today, when we're in the shape we're in, He's going to call a man and be with him, equip him. Is He not going to give him a burden? Is He not going to give him a message? I mean, if you've got no more to say than to get up here and just say nothing and people go out there and don't know what you said, or it's just stuff we've heard over and over again, and I know we need to hear, we need to be put in remembrance. I'm not saying that, but you know what I mean. You can get in these ruts and just preach on the grace of God, the grace of God, the grace of God, and it's wonderful, the amazing grace of God. Without it, we'd all split hell wide open. And yes, there is a hell. Some churches don't even want to believe that anymore, but there's a literal hell.
Sure.
just like there's a literal heaven. I know I've covered a lot of ground, probably haven't made any sense to you, but God bless us and God help us to repent, because He's not going to bless until there's some repenting going on. And I had two other preachers tell me, you need to look happier when you're in the pulpit. Well, I don't get up here to look anyway. Like I said, I'm just what I am by the grace of God. But how do you look back? You think, tell Jeremiah, go back here and tell him he should have had a happier face back there when he was telling him, judgment's coming. And Isaiah, when he told him, but what I forget to get on a while ago, but Isaiah, when he saw judgment coming, he cried out unto the Lord with passion, I believe. He said, oh, so many times in the Bible when things are said, it's what starts out with, oh, oh. That means there's some feeling, there's some passion in there. And a religion, our religion is not based on feeling, but a religion without any feeling, I wouldn't give you a nickel for it. God works in your heart. You're going to know something's going on. You might not understand it. I believe that. I don't care whether you're in the jungle of Africa. If God Almighty puts a new birth in you, you've got a new life, you're going to have something going on in there that wasn't going on before. Just pray that the Lord will bless us, humble us, help us to walk humbly before Him and before each other. Because like one of the brothers said, we got nothing to glory in. Absolutely nothing. What do you have that you did not receive? Think about it a minute. You don't even have your birth, your life, your looks, your height, your shortness, your ability to speak, to hear, to smell, our health, anything that we take for granted. We don't deserve it, brothers and sisters. I can remember, I'll say this and I'll get out of here. When our children were born, we've got two, a boy and a girl. When both of them were born, I remember, and maybe this shows a lack of faith, which I'll admit, this thing of walking by faith, it ain't what it's cracked up to be. It's some hard living. We don't even know what it is, for the most part, until we get in affliction. That's why David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But, when my children were being born, I knew what I deserved. To some extent, we see through a glass darkly. Like the brother said, we don't know totally what we deserve, but we got a pretty good idea of which direction it's going in, and it's all bad, 100% bad. And I was afraid God to strike my children down with some disability, or they would be born dead, and whatever. And I know there's people in here that have had some of that happen. And when it happens, it's not because the parents were more sinful than me. No, I don't understand why. Because if God was just with me, first of all, I would be dead in hell right now, and my children would never have been born, but that they both came out healthy. I just remember, I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't. When the nurse, I was there, both of them, they made the husband. Back in that day, I still hold that against them. Go in there with the wives that like to kill me. I think it's worse on me and her. Probably not, but it seemed like it. And anyway, when they said, I didn't care whether it was a boy or a girl. You know, some people, I want a boy. I didn't care. I said, is it healthy? And they said, yeah. I said, thank the Lord. And every good and every perfect gift, it comes down from above. So if you're healthy, your children are healthy, anything you've got good, it's something you don't deserve. It's mercy, something you don't deserve in grace. Forgive me for taking too much time, brothers. I love y'all. Appreciate your attention.